and welcome to Worship with Trinity. It's good to see you, and we are glad that you are here. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors here, and if you are with us for the first time today, especially want to extend you a warm welcome and say glad that you are here as our guest today. I hope that whether you are here for the first time or you are here all the time, you will let us know that you've been with us today, and you can do that by filling out the connection card that's a part of your bulletin. If you're new, please feel free to share as much information as you're comfortable, and that will help us connect with you. And if you're here regularly, if you will put your first name or you put your name in your email, that's very helpful as well. Today we continue a series of messages entitled Losing Ourselves on Purpose. And for this series, we're taking a look at the ways in which we are called to follow in the footsteps of Christ. Today we turn our attention to the subject of worship. And what does it mean for us to be a people of worship? Well, you know, every time we get together in this space, we are practicing. We are practicing for a day that is coming, a day that is described in Scripture, when all of God's children will come together. And in the book of Revelation, we get a beautiful picture of what that day might look like. So I thought I would share a few verses from Revelation 7 as we begin this morning. The writer says, "After this I looked, and there was a great crowd that no one could number. They were from every nation, tribe, people, and language. They were standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They cried out with a loud voice, 'Victory belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And they fell face down before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and always. Amen.'" And so I say to you this morning, welcome to the dress rehearsal. And welcome home. Let me invite you to stand and say good morning to someone near you as we get ready to worship together.
Would you please remain standing and join in our opening hymn?
Oh, Holy God, Holy One, we are here to worship You. Lead us into Your gates with thanksgiving, into Your courts with praise. Change our hearts and lives in this hour, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to take a moment now to introduce you to our mission box today. A mission box is a way that we give over and above our tithes and offerings here at Trinity to support organizations. And this morning's mission box goes to support a missionary from Jamaica. His name is Mike Ginter, and his ministry is CSI Ministries in Jamaica. And I had the pleasure of joining Mike and a team from Trinity in the spring on a short-term mission trip in Jamaica, and it was really a great time, and he runs a great ministry there. And Sunlight, the 940 Sunlight Band and Choir, will be touring this summer to Jamaica and partnering with this organization to take their music international this year. And so I invite you to give any of the five mission boxes at the back of the church today if you feel led. But to introduce you to Mike and his ministry, here's a short video.
Hey, I just wanted to say thank you for making it possible for me to be here and serve as a missionary with CSI in Jamaica. We've had many teams here already, and we've built a number of houses for needy families and individuals. We've had a lot of vacation Bible school teams already this summer, and we still have more to go. The days are full. My time is very limited, but I just wanted to take a few minutes and say thank you for those of you who financially give, for those of you who pray for me and pray for this ministry. We wouldn't be here if you weren't praying for us, and I wouldn't be here if you didn't make it possible financially for me to do so. And so from the bottom of my heart, thank you for making it possible and for sharing in this ministry. I would love to hear from you. You can always reach me at mginter@csiministries.org. I will be in touch. Please keep me in your prayers. Thanks a lot, and God bless.
We want to invite you to introduce yourself to Mike as you leave today. He is out there by our welcome center. And if you're feeling led to give to support CSI Ministries, we invite you to do so as you exit today using any one of our five mission boxes. We're going to turn now to a time of prayer as we raise our concerns to God as a community. I do want to share with you the names of those that we're visiting on our care team and invite you to pick up a list of all of the prayer concerns that have been lifted to our community in the narthex. It's updated each and every week. This week, as we go to God in prayer, as we're practicing for that glorious day when we worship face-to-face with Jesus, I've actually modified two psalms. The first one is Psalm 63, and the second one is Psalm 34. And I've taken just portions of those that were written in the personal pronoun and adapted them for our purposes so that they can be a prayer for us as a community today. But we know that when Christ comes, Revelation 21 tells us there will be no more tears and no more suffering, no more pain, and no more death. Until that day comes, we can trust that we have a God who hears our needs, who listens to our joys and our concerns, and is there to supply every need that we have. So as we begin our time of prayer, we're going to begin with silence, so that you can lift up your petitions to God. And then I will read these psalms as our corporate prayer. Let's pray. God, we seek you. Our souls thirst for you. Our flesh faints for you. So we come looking for you in the sanctuary and find that you are already here, surrounding us by your power and glory. because your steadfast love is better than life, we will praise you. We will bless you as long as we live. We will lift up our hands and call on your name. We cling to you because you keep us from falling. We will bless the Lord at all times. Our souls will boast in the Lord, so the humble will hear and be glad. Come, magnify the Lord with us. Let's exalt his name together. Look to God and be radiant. Never be ashamed to praise God. Taste and see. The Lord is good. Happy are all those who take refuge in God. Worship the Lord, all you holy ones. For those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Thanks be to God. And let us join our voices now as one as we say the words that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
In heaven, please hear me now, I pray.
Thank you, Cheers Dancers, for they gave us that offering of worship at all three services today. So we're grateful for their ministry this morning. So yeah. At this time, we have the privilege to worship God with our offering. And ushers, would you please come? As we every week, we are given the opportunity to give back to God from what He has given us, so that we can participate in the ministries of these church. This church financially, followers of Jesus, is what we're called to do. And so let us worship God with offering. God, we do thank you that you are the giver of every good thing that we enjoy in life. And now we joyfully give back to you from what you have given to us and pray that you multiply these gifts, these tithes, these offerings, so that indeed your kingdom might come on earth.
Praise you, O Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
As Jesus was teaching the disciples about what it means to be a follower of Christ, he said this, and you all remember this: if anyone would be my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who for my sake will lose their life will save it. You know, it's all about losing our lives, losing ourselves, denying ourselves. That's what we've been talking about for the last several weeks. Losing ourselves and actually even doing that on purpose. And so this morning, well, for the last several weeks, we've been talking about what it means to lose ourselves. To lose ourselves, living lives of humility, living lives with forgiveness, offering forgiveness, and extending hospitality, and this morning, worship. Now, I did look for Marv and Nancy McMillan this morning, and they weren't in their seats. Who was here last week? See, when Steve talked, I know, when Steve talked about hospitality last week, he invited you all to try changing seats. You don't have to do it every week, but every once in a while, and you'll meet some new people. So Marv and Nancy are in new seats today. An act of hospitality, of losing ourselves on purpose. This morning we talk about worship. And what does that look like if we were to lose ourselves on purpose? We're going to look at one of the Psalms. Psalms 95 through 100 are this increasing, growing crescendo of psalms about worship and what it means to worship and to praise God. And it begins with Psalm 95, and I'm going to read from that today as we, again, think about what it means to truly worship and what it might look like to lose ourselves as we worship. So the Psalms are in the middle of your Bible, or maybe you might have to turn back just a few pages. And I'm reading from Psalm 95, the first part of that. Come, let's sing out loud to the Lord. Let's raise a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let's come before him with thanks. Let's shout songs of joy to him. The Lord is a great God, the great King over all gods. The earth's depths are in his hands. The mountain heights belong to him. The sea which he made is his, along with the dry ground which his own hands formed. Come, let's worship and bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord our Maker. He is our God, and we are the sheep of his pasture, the people of his pasture, the sheep in his hand. This is the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Let me invite you to bow your heads and pray for me once again this morning in sharing this message with you as I pray for you and receive it. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, it's been a while since I lived in a college town, more than 30 years, actually, and I had kind of forgotten just a little bit about how big college football is. But I'm quickly remembering, I must confess, and it's great to watch the Gators play, and it's even greater when you are there in that space, and all of those people are cheering for our Gators, and especially yesterday when we win against our rivals, how awesome that is. Now, one of the things that I remember from all those years ago that happens at these Gator games is our orange and blue cheer. You know, orange, 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 blue, 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 orange, blue, orange, blue. It's almost
like a religious experience, right? It was about 20 years ago that Steve and I were in Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, for the World Methodist Conference. There were Methodists of varying denominations from all over the world, and we gathered in a large conference center and we had worship all together. It was delightful and moving to be in worship with people speaking all different languages and from all different nationalities and backgrounds. It was a beautiful experience. And one day we left the conference center and we went to worship in a different location. We went to worship with the people of Brazil and all of the surrounding communities. We went to a place called Maracanã Zenho, which is a sports arena, an indoor sports arena that holds about 25,000 people. And there we were worshiping with thousands of people, a larger worship than I had ever experienced before. So we got there and we filed off the bus and we went into the arena. And they had us sitting on the ground floor of the arena. You know, we were the honored guests, and they wanted to give us the very best seats. And then the Brazilians from all of the communities around were sitting in the upper level of the arena. And everybody was talking, and, you know, to get that many people in, we were there probably an hour before worship was ready to start. And as we were sitting there and talking, all of a sudden I started hearing this somehow chanting or something that was coming from the upper arena. Jesus, Jesus. It was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Portuguese for Jesus. They were chanting for Jesus. All of these people were chanting for Jesus. What would it look like if we were all so excited to be in worship that we would chant, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus? What would that look like and what would that mean? You know, we all worship in different ways, and it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to be that outward, but what if we were all as expressive? What if our hearts were all so full that we were so excited and enthusiastic and grateful simply to be able to worship God? Isn't that how it should be? You remember the Ten Commandments, and the first of those commandments, do you remember what that is? This first commandment is the foremost commandment, and it's a commandment to worship the Lord our God. Exodus 20 begins. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall love no other God before me. And then in the second commandment, it goes on to tell us that we should not bow down and worship any other God. And then they go on from there. You shouldn't take the name of the Lord in vain. And then it talks about making our families a priority. Honor thy father and mother. And then all the last ones are about how we should live our lives. You shouldn't commit adultery or kill or steal. But the very first commandment is the most important, and that is to worship God and God alone. Now, it may sound like an obvious question, but what is worship? What is corporate worship, and how do we do it? One simple definition that I really appreciate is from Welton Gaddy in his book on worship, and he says this: worship is an offering of love to the God of love. In other words, worship is the place where we are reminded of just how much God loves us. And therefore, it is the time and it is the place where we offer that love back to God. As a church and as Christians, we do many things. We do lots. lots of good works and service, and we are in ministry with children and youth and all ages, and yet worship is the most important work of the church, because we are a people who exist to serve God, and there is no higher service than our worship. That's why we call it a worship service, because it is a service that we do to God. And that's been affirmed over and over again throughout history, even in the face of changing times. The Old Westminster Shorter Catechism declares that the chief end of every person is to praise God and to enjoy God forever. Karl Barth, 19th century theologian, says, "Christian worship is the most momentous, the most urgent, the most glorious action that can take place in a human life." More recently, Orlando Costas, a third world theologian, says, "Worship is not a mere function of the church. It is the church's ultimate purpose." And finally, even in times of struggle, for severe struggle for human rights and dignity, Bishop Desmond Tutu said, "The church exists primarily to worship and adore God." That is our ultimate purpose, to worship and adore God. So the next logical question, well, it may seem logical and it may not, is how do we worship? What does it look like to really worship? What does authentic worship really look like? Søren Kierkegaard was a 19th century Danish philosopher and theologian, and he made a comparison between the theater in his day and worship. He noted that in the theater, there are actors who stand up on stage, and there are prompters who are off stage helping with lines and prompting what happens. And then the audience, of course, is watching all that is happening. And he made the comparison between that and the church. And he said often it seems that way in worship as well. That the preacher is the actor, and God is the prompter off stage, right? Prompting us what to say and do. And the congregation is the audience. He noted that in worship in his day, that often was the case, but that perhaps we've got it a little mixed up. And I would say his insights then still apply in many cases today. So he said, maybe we've got all the parts, but we don't have them in the right place for worship. So he suggested that the congregation are the actors, that you all are the actors when we worship together, and that the preacher and the choir and the prayers and the dancers, they're the prompters. And the audience? Well, it's an audience of one. Our only audience is God. Everything that we do in worship should be focused on God. Gaddy says this: if God isn't the audience in any given service, Christian worship does not take place. If worship does occur and God is not the audience, all present participate in the sin of idolatry. Remember the first commandment? I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. And we may think that we don't have any other gods, but really that challenge that Kierkegaard made is as applicable to us today as it was to the church then. We make gods out of a lot of other things, even in worship. Remember, any time our focus is not on an audience of one, then we participate in the sin of idolatry. There's a congregation, Plymouth Church. There is a congregation, Plymouth Church in Brooklyn, New York. And it began in the mid-18th century. And their very first pastor and preacher was Henry Ward Beecher. He was the brother of Harriet Beecher Stowe, whose name you may also recognize. He was a powerful preacher. People came from all around to hear him preach. He preached against slavery. He preached and supported causes like women's suffrage and evolution and temperance. And different from some of the preachers of his day, he didn't preach harsh judgment from God, but instead he preached about the amazing, gracious love of God. And again, people came from all over to hear him preach. Well, one day when the sanctuary was full and it was time for the sermon, Henry Ward Beecher was away, and a guest preacher stood up to preach. And when the guest preacher stood up, you know what happened? Many in the congregation got up and started moving to the exits. And then the guest preacher said to them, "All those who are here to worship Henry Ward Beecher, please exit. And all those who are here to worship God, please remain." You know, I too have been guilty of the sin of idolatry, not focused on an audience of one in worship. You know, I'm a parent. And so when my kids were little and the children's choir would come up to sing, I will admit that my focus wasn't on God. It probably wasn't even on all of the children in the children's choir. My eyes were glued to my own children. How precious they are. How wonderful it is that they're singing. What beautiful songs they are making. How sweet that they're waving to me. All of those things. I was focused on them and not on God. And then one Sunday, it was the Sunday after Vacation Bible School, and all of the kids who had participated in Vacation Bible School, or many of them, were there singing that morning. There were 150 of them spread all around on the steps and offering music. And as they did, I began, you know, in my normal routine of looking at my children. And then all of a sudden, they were singing so sweetly and so genuinely that I began to get caught up in the music that they were singing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love now flowing down from his hands and feet that were nailed to the tree as grace flows down and covers me. It covers me, they did this. It covers me. It covers me. And as they sang, I had goosebumps. I was overwhelmed in worship of God and could feel God's grace and God's forgiveness covering me. Just like this morning when our dancers led us, and we worship God in in heaven, and we bow down and pray. They were leading us in worship. They were the prompters, prompting us to worship God, an audience of one. You know, it's about losing ourselves. The worship of God is about losing ourselves and focusing on an audience of one. Jesus reminds us that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. We worship God and God alone. It's our privilege and it's our responsibility to lose ourselves on purpose as we worship. And so I challenge you to make this worship of God the highest priority in your life. Be here and worship it. An audience of one. That's our ultimate purpose. So let me remind you of what that looks like and of our psalm one more time. Come, let's sing out loud to the Lord. Let's raise a joyful shout to the rock of our salvation. Let's come before Him with thanks. Let's shout songs of joy to Him. The Lord is a great God, a great King over all other gods. The earth's depths are in His hands, and the mountain heights belong to Him. The sea which He made is His, along with the dry ground which His hands formed. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord our Maker. He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep in His hands. Come, let's worship. I want to see you here and worship every week. Not for my sake, and not even for yours, but for God's sake. For the love of God. Let's pray. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, You are awesome and wondrous. You made us of everything that is. You have delivered us from all that holds us captive, and You are our God. And so we come to worship. And, oh God, we confess that it is easy. It is easy to let worship be a lower priority than all of the other demands on our time. It is easy in worship to get caught up thinking that we are the audience and that those leading worship are the actors. But, oh God, help us to remember the parts. We, oh God, are the actors and You are the audience. May all that we do bring glory and honor to You, our audience of one. So help us to reorient our lives and recommit ourselves to worship You for Your sake. Amen.
Every time we come to the table and worship, it is an active participation in the drama of worship. It is a way for us to participate and to say yes to the God who has already said yes to us long before. Here we remember God's great love poured out in the person of Jesus Christ, who came to live the obedient life and witness to the world of God's love. We remember how he gathered around him disciples, followers who would learn from him and then carry on that ministry after he was gone. And we remember how on their last night together, they came together and shared a meal. And at that meal, he took bread and he broke it, shared it with them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal, he took a cup and he gave thanks, shared it with them and said, "Take and drink all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Will you pray with me? Gracious and merciful God, may we come to the table today with grateful hearts, because you have made space for each of us. And now pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup, that in receiving them we might recognize Christ's presence among us, and particularly in these gifts, his body and blood given for our sake and for the sake of the world. Now bind us together as we come so that we might be one as a witness to the world. One with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to all. Until that day comes when your children gather around your banquet table and celebrate the feast. All honor and glory and power be yours now and forever. Amen. Would those who are serving this morning please join us at the altar rail? Here in Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table of communion is always open. Because of God's great love, that he welcomes each one of us. And so whether you're here for the first time or you're here all the time, you're welcome to come to the table this morning. You'll find a pair of servers in front of each of the stations. And as you come, we invite you to open your hands, being ready to receive that gift of bread. And then after you've received the bread from one of the servers, if you'll take it and dip it into the cup, and then take the elements together. You'll come by the left side of your section and then return by the right side. Of course, you are welcome to spend time at the prayer benches and then return to your seats after you have received. Everything is ready and all are welcome to the table. Please come.
You know.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery by which you have fed and nourished us and prepared us to go out to love and serve as you lead. May it be so by the power of your Spirit. Amen.
Let us continue to praise our God by singing another hymn of praise to Him. Would you please stand and join me in our closing? As you go this morning, may you remember to worship and adore our God and give God God's right, our worship. The privilege and the responsibility is ours for the sake and for the love of God. And may you go knowing that the love of God and the grace of the Holy Spirit which covers you, the grace of Jesus Christ which covers you, and the power of the Holy Spirit is with you always. Amen.